Hunt, hunt, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
I am doing amazing, and not only because I love talking to you guys, but that's quite the lengthy open now. But hey, thank you to Lakeland Supply. Thank you to Exterior Pros. I don't want to make an old reference because that's what we do on our show. But apparently, I don't know if I can say you liked me. You really, really liked me. But at least you don't dislike me. So thank you. It's great to have you on board.
So I assume that this weekend you were at one of two weddings, either the backup quarterbacks or the actual quarterbacks. I found it interesting that they were both getting married on the same weekend. What a tough choice for any teammates who were invited to both, huh?
Wait, who else got married?
The big red dog.
Yes.
Really?
Right.
They scheduled it for the same weekend?
Yeah. Yep. And and Clifford's was in Philadelphia and Love's was in California. So that's real tough for anybody to make both.
Yeah, things called airplanes.
Poor Malik Willis. That must have been a really expensive weekend.
I suppose, yeah.
House setting. Yeah, I didn't know about Clifford. I'll tell you what, he is a terrific kid. I really like him. He and I get along great. We have some great conversations. Kind of reminds me, Chewy, of the old days when no one would talk and you were crammed in that locker in the back corner. And so to make my time productive, I would talk to Doug Peterson, who was always in there. Yeah. And I learned so much from backup quarterbacks. Like Hasselbeck was great, and Clifford is just such a really interesting guy. I feel like I'm always smarter when I finish talking with him. And then I would add this. I'm not sure he's going to be here this year, so I hope he is. But he's really someone who knows ball and is good to talk with.
Jason, did you see Bakhtiari's tweet?
I did. How serious was that? What's the old saying? Every joke has a little bit of truth in it.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out a way to share that without commenting on it. So I shared it with kind of a line about how he's got a second career as a wedding videographer if he wants it, because he posted a video with it. But again, I'm not here to tell Aaron Rodgers how to live his life. I'm happy for Jordan. Ronica came and talked to Sydney's volleyball team a couple seasons ago, which was awesome. They're a fun, great couple. I don't understand the Rodgers thing, and that's fine if you don't want Brittany to be in the public eye. But the idea of having – I just can't imagine getting married and not having the people that I care about the most around me. And so that part I don't understand, and I think – David Bakhtiari, in his not-so-subtle way, was showing a little bit of his, hey, man, I'm supposed to be your brother, and you don't talk to your actual brothers, so it would have been nice to be there.
Jason, yesterday on our show, we talked about red flags for the Packers, things that might prevent them from accomplishing their goals this year. What's your biggest red flag heading into 2025?
Well, I didn't get to listen yesterday. What was on the list? Because that's a really good idea that had I heard it, we totally would have plagiarized it on our show.
Well, the good news is, Jason, there's still plenty of time left in the offseason if you want to plagiarize it later. But with me, I went with the lack of stars. is a big red flag for me, because you take a look at the other teams they're competing with, not even just across the NFL, but just in the NFC, and the star power that those rosters have. Chewy, what was yours?
Offensive line.
I have no idea.
Yeah, okay. Offensive line.
Can talk.
With the Zach Tom situation, Elton Jenkins situation, he thinks what's going on with the offensive line is a red flag. And I said it's got to be the pass rush / defensive line underperforming, underproducing, and seemingly Brian Gutekunst's unwillingness to address it.
Thank you for the rundown. If you want more details from that conversation,
you can find it on
the ESPN Wisconsin app.
That's correct.
Look, I'm going to take something different so I don't have the same answer as you three. And I'm going to say the cornerback group. Like, we can all, you know, and we did talk about Jaire Alexander till the cows come home. But the fact of the matter is whether you feel like he was too injured to keep or too expensive to keep, which I don't think $4 million is that expensive at all, they've got their top three. I don't disagree with that. I don't know how good those guys are. They all have something to prove this season. Keyshawn Nixon has to prove he's a number one corner. Nate Hobbs has to prove that he can stay healthy with his physical play style and play both inside and outside, because he didn't do that during his time with the Raiders. And Carrington Valentine, who has started 22 games as a seventh-round pick, has to prove that he is a bona fide NFL starter. But after that, they got a bunch of guys that have as much NFL experience in the regular season as the five of us. So I that, to me, if those guys don't stay healthy, is the Achilles heel, especially when you look at all the guys that they're going to have to guard during the course of the season, not just in the NFC North, but throughout their schedule. So to me, that's the red flag. And if those three guys stay healthy and play at a high level, great. But if they don't, it could be very difficult for them.
Jason, the only reason I said O-line is because I know how veterans are. And Elton Jenkins is a veteran. He would benefit from Zach Tom not reporting to camp. He would put that offensive line in disarray, and I'm sure Zach Tom's agent saying, you sure you want to roll the dice here, right? And Elton Jenkins like, dude, what are you doing? You're going to get paid. Chance of getting hurt. So, yep. I mean, if the two of them don't show up, that's trouble. That's trouble.
It is, and look, again, I am I would not be the best GM. Because I just pay everybody, and you can't do that, right? And, you know, I can joke all I want about how many veterans would be on my team, but it's true. I believe in veterans. I understand that there's injury risk and that guys' bodies break down as they get older. These two guys, they're not Frank Winters, you know, still playing at age 53 here,
mm-hmm.
right? Neither one of them has had their 30th birthday. Elton Jenkins will. I think the day after Christmas, and Zach Tom is still a young player. You know, I had a big, and Gabe, I don't know how many times this happened for you when you were doing a daily show with him, but I had a huge win last week with Homer where, you know, he was adamant that they don't have to do anything with Elton Jenkins' contract. He's now gone from being, you know, well-paid, decently paid as a left guard to overpaid as a center. So he basically was like, shut up and play. And I said, you know, not everything has to be a negotiation where somebody wins and someone loses. Sometimes you can just do the right thing. And for a player that your general manager publicly said when they moved him to center that they envision him as an all-pro center, a guy that has done whatever this team has asked in these last five seasons, a guy who is the linchpin of your reshuffling of the offensive line, and is looking to his left now with Aaron Banks going, it's a hell of a lot of money to pay a guy who's less accomplished than me. Why not? Again, what bothers me about that one is that all he's asking for is for existing money to be guaranteed. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want a new blockbuster four-year extension. He wants to take money that's already there, money that, by the way, if he's on the roster for the first game, gets guaranteed in his base salary as a vested veteran, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big ask. And you know this.
that kind of stuff goes a long way in the locker room of guys saying, hey, if I play for this team and I do it the right way, they will take care of me. And one of my disagreements with Goody, and I've known the guy for almost 30 years now. One of my disagreements is, you have to be smarter with your money than I have to be with your money, because it's not my money. But there is a level of, hey, we know our GM, if we do the right thing, is going to do right by us. And this is a perfect opportunity to show those guys that in taking care of Elton. And then you still have the flexibility, by the way, to move on from him in a year or two. If you're like, look, he's 30 now, he's deteriorating, we'll play Jacob Monk or we'll draft somebody else. You're not hamstringing yourself by guaranteeing some money. You add some dummy years to the contract to spread it out, and you're fine. Now, in Zach Tom's case, I agree with you. And he has every lesson from last year to remind himself. He tore his pec. And again, back to doing what's right for the team. Dude played his ass off last year and did not have strength in his one side. So if I'm him, and I'm risk averse as anybody, I'm certainly not, well, I'm not capable of jumping off the side of a cruise ship to save anybody. So we're not going on any cruises. But the idea that this guy is going to go out there and take the risk of somebody rolling up on him in a practice at Reinitschke Field as a former fourth-round pick. Don't forget, he doesn't have the kind of money in the bank that a first-round pick would have gotten from his first contract. I would not set foot on that field until I got an extension. The only leverage these guys have is withholding their services, and it's not a whole heck of a lot of leverage. But I would not go out there if I was him. I just wouldn't. And this is why I always criticize my guy, Davante Adams. Because in 2021, he took an enormous risk. It paid off. But then they said, thank you for your service. We're going to offer you $17 million a year when you should be getting $25 million a year.
Wouldn't there be so much just goodwill? Again, going back to Zach Tom. Because you just went through the Jair Alexander thing. There's frustration. He's not going to play through injury. There's debate about how severe the knee injury was with his dad saying it was misdiagnosed. But you just had a guy who played through injury. Like, why would you not want to reward that? So now you're sending the message of, hey, if you play through injury, we're going to reward you because we think that you can be a good player. After having the frustration, like it just seems like the message right now is, well, if you don't play through injury, we're going to cut you. And if you play through injury, well, that's just...
we're not going to pay you.
Yeah, we're not going to pay you. Like, what do we... yeah. I mean, it just seems like it's a little inconsistent when you pair it with everything that happened with Jair and how frustrated they were. Shouldn't you reward the guy you're happy with?
Gabe, if you're going to use logic on this
okay.
show,
all right, you know what? That's on
continue
me.
Continue to join us.
It's on me.
You know, I mean, we've got great partners now that want to take care of by being on the show. But come on, Gabe, you're 1,000,000% right. Again, you know, they've got a sign inside their facility: standards over feelings. Just because you put up a sign doesn't mean that guys don't have feelings anymore, right? And while they may not be as sensitive as me, That stuff does matter. And to your point, not only did Zach Tom play through injury, if they had a third team all-pro team, he would have been it at right tackle. Which, by the way, kudos to the NFL and AP and their voters for having that, because Tausch and Bulaga got completely screwed by the fact that they just voted for tackles and it was always all the left tackles. But this guy not only played, but played well. He had his highest Pro Football Focus, say what you will about him, grade of his career while playing hurt, while playing with limited strength on one side. So it limited what he could do to neutralize pass rushers. So again, you're exactly right, Gabe. It sends, not only does it take care of him, but it sends a message to the rest of the locker room. And you got a guy sitting next to you. You are in person, right? I don't have the video.
Yeah, we're all together.
That knows that stuff about a locker room. And this is where, say what you will about Rodgers, and many have. But, you know, I do think about Moneyball and the approach that Billy Bean, Brad Pitt takes of sending Jonah Hill on the road trip and saying, I can't get close to these guys. You know, I got to cut them, trade them, whatever. I get that. But at the same time, they're still human beings. And when Rodgers levied that criticism, I think thinking about, because Goody definitely thinks about the locker room chemistry in terms of, he always talks about, we want guys who love football. And Chewy certainly knows some guys who didn't love football that he played with. They loved the money that came with football and the adulation, but the actual football was more of a means to an end. So he understands that component of a locker room dynamic. But again, I think it's important to recognize that this stuff reverberates throughout all the guys in that room. And I think it matters more than maybe they sometimes take into account with some of the decisions they make contractually.
Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply and Exterior Pros. Last thing before we let you go, Jason, I keep seeing TJ Watt's name pop up. Speculation, obviously exacerbated by the situation he finds himself in Pittsburgh. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much should Packers fans expect that to happen?
Well, in the interest of people being able to enjoy pipe dreams, I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, 100. I had three different buddies of mine who are huge Packers fans text me last night. Now it's Goody's chance. Oh, we're going to get TJ Watt. Yeah. Hey, live it up, man. He's already celebrated his 30th birthday. Why mm-hmm. would the Packers be interested in a guy like that? In all seriousness, it would be a really cool story, right? I don't believe that the Steelers, with what they're doing, I have a really hard time envisioning them letting arguably their best player out the door, especially, yes, they traded Minkah Fitzpatrick in the Jalen Ramsey trade, but they've made it clear they want to sign him. I suppose it's possible that that's all posturing, but I personally, as a storyteller covering the team, am in no way getting my hopes up of writing a TJ Watt story. They had their chance in the 2017 NFL draft. They did not take advantage. They do not get a mulligan. And unlike Tausch at a golf outing, they don't get to buy 20 mulligans and use them on that draft.
Jason, we appreciate hanging out with us. Have a great one, and we will talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse
finally
than
we
what
got,
ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally, yes. We figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN.